This particular study, we're moving on today with the third Sunday of application. I've held out for you several pages in which we took, 9, 10 Sundays of going through the teachings, and now we're seeking to apply those teachings to particular instances. We took a look at some of what the Scripture teaches concerning various topics, for example, concerning homosexuality and these things, and we said, okay, how does this deal with the individual as a Christian? What does the Scripture say? What do you as a Christian do or not do? We saw that not only according to natural law that this was wrong, that it was sinful, but we said according to the Word of God and as it was taught, and we looked at it and said, okay, we see that. As we went forward, we began to talk about, all right, the Christian itself lives in, and we can speak about it in two kingdoms, referring to the church and the world, or we can refer to it as the three estates, where we talk about the church, the state, and the family. And we talked about how the state and the family are governed on this side of the line by natural law and human reason, while the church is governed by the Word of God, and how those are different. As we began to speak about these things, one of the things we ran into was an issue of participation. And we said, okay, if God's Word says that I am not to commit sin, participate with sin, then that would be sin. All right, that's according to the Christian. Nevertheless, we have an injunction to obey the government, with the exception of if the government commands you to sin, you are to obey God rather than man. And so we talked about how even in our life over on this side, that there will be times in which, if it commands us to sin, there are many times in which our government commands us or allows things that are sinful and yet does not force us to do that. If it forces us to do it, we say no. If it allows something that God's Word does not, that is within the government's purview. And so we're speaking about these two sides. As we talked about participation, we said God's Word lines out where there is participation on this side, and that includes when there is support of pastors, those who preach and teach, by your public confession of faith. There is not to be the joining together of those in service in which they have conflicting teachings. We said mainly as regards to laymen, we go by their public confession of faith, that is, by their membership. And we say, if you are a member here, if you take communion here, then you must believe, teach, and confess everything that is taught from this altar, this pulpit. That's where your membership is. We ran into a little problem. Not a little problem, but it's we would like to be able to say, A, this is always right, B, this is always wrong. When we went over to this side, that is the kingdom of the world, or that which is the state and the family and all, which is governed by natural law, human reason, you know, sometimes even perceptions of others change how we should respond in certain ways. I even gave an example of cross-cultural in which in one culture it might be perfectly right and good to do something, in another culture it may not. And that's simply a regard of perception, or over time there is things that change. That made it a little bit difficult over here concerning you would say the human reason. My human reason might say this is fine, and we may disagree sometimes on these things, in which I think if you do this, you're participating in evil. You might say, well, I don't necessarily see that, that I would. An example would be, someone might say to me, well, I was invited to attend a marriage of two men. One person might say, well, by my attending, I feel that that's endorsing, that's approval, that's participating. No, I can't do that. Another might say, you know, I'm just their friend. I'm simply going as a friend. I'm not endorsing, I'm not approving, I don't have their church membership. I am simply going for that friend. In the same way that I might go to a Methodist confirmation, I might go to a Jewish friend's bar mitzvah, I'm not necessarily, you know, saying I approve, saying that's that. Okay, human reason, there might be some, and that is due to us being on this side of the line. Granted. There are some things that we would say, for you to be married to the same sex, yep, that's obviously sin, we've got it. So we had a little bit of some, you know, I think some of us said we were going into a sea of opinions and all. Nevertheless, okay, we had some of those. We also saw because of that, this is the last kind of review item, we also saw because of that, that there are times in which, due to this, we lay down a principle in which we'd say, when you're over here, if you're a cake maker, you make cakes. It doesn't impinge upon your Christianity. You can't make a cake in a Christian way or in any different way. Now, again, provided we're not talking about putting writing on it and those kind of things. But we also came to the understanding that there are times in which a cake is not just a cake. There's a time in which something which is, we would say, neither commanded or forbidden, something which is adiaphora, something which is, can be forced into a situation which would say, I can't do that. Why? Because you have made this an endorsement. You have not just allowed me to simply do it. Now, you can't force me into that, but that may be. And so we saw that as well. All right, that's about where we got last time. We've been pushing forward. I've been dealing with us as a Christian. I've been dealing with us as a Christian who is serving in the state or over here in the family. And we've dealt with, what about a citizen? We dealt with the cake maker. Today we're going to push forward to, what about the Christian who is not just a citizen, but one who is actually employed by the state. That is, who is serving in the vocation of the state. How does this work? We've got some principles. I'm always going to be dragging you back to those. We have some principles, for example, that we are to obey the government. The government is God's authority, has been instituted by God, and we are to follow it. Luther, Luther, in this particular document that we were going through, you might remember they were asking Luther, the electors of Germany, they were concerned that the Roman Emperor was going to come in and to invade, and could they fight against him? Could they marshal their armies and come back against him? Luther initially says, no, that is your government. You can't do it. You have to, Romans 13, obey your government. And then at some point, they come to him and say, what if the government itself gives you permission to fight against the government? sounds a little, well, and so we went through that, in which the lawyers came to him and said, the legal experts demonstrated that it said, if the government goes beyond its authority, you may resist the government. And Luther said, well, if that is the case, then by all means, that I'm not going to stand in the way of that. There was a couple other things going on where it began to be, were they impinging upon the church and all. So we began to have some instances. All right, well, we've been pushing forward on this for quite some time, and we've started to run into, what about being in the government? The example I'm going to use, and again, we've done really well in using the examples to teach the Christian principles, try not to get too bogged down in the details. The example that we are going to give for someone who is in the state is a clerk named Kim Davis in Kentucky, who refused to give out marriage certificates for those who came for those who wanted to have gay marriage. That was the particular issue that came up with it. One of the articles that I have, and I thought was quite interesting, here's what it says. It says, Christian fundamentalists plot against the Constitution. Ah, and then they go on what her emails reveal and all. Just follow their line of thinking, okay? I'm not so much concerned about fundamentalists and whatever, but here are some of the things that this article is afraid of. It says that Christians are seeking to undermine the Constitution. What does it say about this? Well, they talk about Davis is likely more deranged than your average Dominionist. They're going to refer to her as a dominion. Now, dominion means lord. The idea that this article is going forward with, and I think you're going to get it, is that she has a Christian dominionist view. And Christian dominionists say that religious laws trump secular laws, and therefore, Christian dominionists want to turn the secular government into a Christian nation. Force the nation to follow Christian things. This one goes on to talk about, it cites one of the people running for president and says, this person has said that America is a Christian nation and that we should have something like a religious test for office. What this and other men have said, they say this is just an attempt to elevate God's law over secular law. Listen to this. Since the 1970s, when conservative Protestants became politically active, Christians have sought to blur the boundary between secular law and religious doctrine. The idea, as evangelical scholar Lynn Buzzard wrote, was, quote, to reject the division of human affairs into the secular and the sacred. So she says they reject this idea that there is a secular and a sacred. Instead, that there is no area of human activity, including law and politics, which is outside of God's lordship. There is also the Christian dominionist movement, the primary goal of which is to implant religious zealots in public office in order to Christianize the laws, the courts, and all public institutions. At the end of the article, it says, I have no idea if Davis self-identifies as a Christian dominionist, but her belief that religious laws trump secular laws in the public space is consistent with dominionist thinking. And Davis may be a footnote to a news cycle, but there are plenty more people with influence who share her dominionist ideas. The response of those who have seen her say, "I'm not going to do this," she refused to, as a clerk, she's supposed to hand out certificates, people come in, say you can get married, and she gives it to them. She said, "No, I won't do it." They said, "Aha, what are you? You're a Christian dominionist in which you'd say, this trumps this. In fact, you want this to be the law of the land." There's so much here. I'm sorry. I'm kind of going slow. Her claim would be one of religious liberty. What do you find interesting about? They say she's a Christian dominionist, one who wants to have lordship, no dominion, take over the United States. What's interesting about that particular approach?
Two things, the irony of it. Number one is there is a grain of truth in what they say about, because I can reflect from my own family. They have a sort of Christian test that this guy's not Baptist enough or whatever for them. They don't want it for a pastor, not for a president. Whereas that's not my issue. But the other thing is that that other side that we're hearing from is the very group who's been most subverting the Constitution for the last 30 years. And okay. The idea that the Christian principles that she's supposedly trying to put over all the rest of us, those have been in place all along. So all she's really attempting to do is fight back from the forces that are pushing it the opposite way already, the people who, in fact, are complaining against her.
First thing, when someone says this is a Christian nation, and yet you can see why they would say, "Oh, so if you say there's a Christian, then what? The Christians have to rule for this." There are many that come and say, the goal of Christianity is not the salvation, the conscience, the soul, but in fact, it is what? Changing lives and making Christian whatever go out, and we want to change the nation, change the city. We want to. They call me up and say, "We've got a problem. The city council wants to put out more." Permits for selling alcohol. And we want all the pastors to get together because we want this city to be a Christian city. Right. Before the little gun store came in here, someone came into my office and said, "What are we going to do about this?" I go, "What are you talking about?" But this idea that, this is the goal, you can see it. And so you can see where this kind of thing. Now, as we've talked about this, we've said that even though it is governed by natural law, it's not that natural law is any and everything. We said, primarily, it agrees with what we would even say, Ten Commandments. Now, yes, Ten Commandments go farther, not dealing just with outward actions, but also with the heart and faith and those kind of things. But you can begin to see this. I find one other thing ironic in that section, and then I want to kind of go on to the other. The other thing I find ironic is that there is a religion, and it's not Christianity, in which its goal is not the soul or salvation, but is in fact what?
Sharia law.
It is, in fact, overthrowing, setting up its own law, and governing according to it. We simply say, you know, do we wish to convert? Absolutely. How do we do that? By the word. And if you hear the word, fine. If you don't hear the word, I don't have anything else. If you are a Muslim, how do you convert? The sword will work just as well as the word. And if it doesn't work, it amounts to submission, and that's good enough too. And so I find it, you know, if you're objecting to a Christian dominionist, and I really don't know Kim Davis, and I haven't gone way deep in that, but I will say, you know, I would reject that too. I don't want that at all. And that's not the team. But are there some? Yeah, and I can see where there's a concern. Mary and Vic.
Those who want to...
Oh, Tony next, after that.
...from our Christian, that those components of which had to do with the establishment of our government, perhaps don't realize that without that component, we have no rights at all. Because our Constitution, which we obviously do support, refers to rights given by birth by our Creator, and every other organization, including political people of a certain bent, if they don't rely on those rights, the only alternative is your rights are strictly from the state. And if they want that, that means it's changeable. It's not unchangeable as God and his birthrights are.
Vic?
I'll let you explain further. Later, a member of our founding fathers, what you want to call atheists, they were not Christians. And second thing is that people may be interested in knowing what some of the people are up to on the benefits of the Supreme Court.
Yes. Absolutely. The best example that I give is someone named Thomas Jefferson, who was a rationalist, a deist, if you will, believed there is a God, you know, much more than that, and whatever. He was an honest man. He went through the Holy Gospel, and as he went through it, he read a paragraph and said, you know, that's good. He took that, cut it out, and pasted it in his book. He got to the next section, and it said Jesus walked on water, and he said, my reason says that's not possible. I know what water is. I know what a man is. He can't walk on water. Thomas, and I'm literally cut the section out, threw it away, and he had his own Bible in which he cut out the parts that didn't agree with his reason. I think to say that, you know, is this a Christian nation? You know, no, not in that sense at all. Were several of them Christians? Sure they were. Sometimes we talk about Judeo-Christian, or we talk about the morality that comes from that, which is also an agreement with natural law. Yeah, something. Yeah. Are we an anti-Christian? No. We recognize, though, that there is, and we'll be getting then to the laws of the land, in which there is a First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. There are freedoms. We understand that within this country there's going to be a plurality of religions. Yep, that's the way it's going to be. They're not going to have an establishment. We're not anti-religion either. Victor? Not Victor, Tony.
Yeah, there's a saying that if you don't know history, you're bound to repeat it. And Americans are very poor at history. They just don't want to learn it. This has been going on for centuries. I think Luther was fighting it. The Roman Catholic Church was not only the religious institution, it was the governmental institution. anytime the government and religion are the same as with Muslims, you've got a real problem. Those people overseas that we've talked to, they say our problem is our memory is too long. In this country, our memory is too short. We do not have a country that is Christian. We have a country that was founded by Christians, by and large. We do not have a constitution that says we have a freedom from religion. We have a freedom of religion. And you've got to go back to people like Thomas Jefferson and so forth to figure out what it was that was actually there. We don't want to do that.
All right, let's... Michael?
I'd just like to add that Billy Graham went to a different church or something.
Mm-hmm.
Including some...
Yes.
Okay, so...
Let me push forward with this. First of all, as a regards, if we're going to talk about sin, if we're going to talk about the person themselves, is it sinful? What the clerk, Kim Davis, was asked to do? Is it sin?
Yeah, she needed to authorize.
To sign a marriage certificate, that is sinful. Oh, it's not. Now, if it is sin, she has to say no. You know, the government can allow abortions. But if it tells me I have to get an abortion, then you have commanded me to sin. I must obey God rather than man. This is the point at which you would say, is it sin?
It seems to me the state is issuing the marriage certificate. She's in a position of a clerk. She is not saying I personally endorse this marriage certificate.
Okay, so then we begin to go, okay, we get into our participation, don't we? Endorsement. You know, is this simply her? But no. Again, she's functioning as the state. She is functioning in this. I mean, let me throw the example out. I am a Christian. When I am drafted into the army and I function on behalf of the state, over here, I keep the fifth commandment by not killing. Over here, I go out with the troops and I kill. Am I being a bad Christian? Do I need to say, oh no, I can't do this, I'm a Christian? No, I am in the state, I'm in a different office. And over here, I'm executing a just war, I'm executing judgment on behalf of the government, exercising the power of the sword. So it very well may be that over here I kill and over here I don't, right? So you begin to say concerning this, is this simply her being in her office, doing, you know, you might say, offering a marriage certificate on behalf of the government?
One word, Nazi. If you're going to step over there and be part of the state, which is run by the Nazis, and you're required to be a member of the Nazi party, and you're standing there lifting your arm, and when you drop your arm, all these soldiers shoot all these people who fall into, is that okay because you're working for the state?
Talking
about two different things here.
Yeah.
Well, you begin to say, and again, there may be a point at which my actions, you know, if I am asked...
Setting something in motion. Do you refuse to do that? She's setting something in motion by doing her job, which before this law was passed or whatever... was doing no harm. Now it's doing harm. If you as a doctor who have taken whatever oath you say they're not taking anymore...
They came to Jesus. They came to Jesus and said, the Roman government supports idolatry and does all of these terrible things. Do you send taxes to the government? Do you start this thing in motion? Do you support them? And Jesus says, absolutely, I send my taxes in. What they do with my taxes, that's on their head. But I... obey the government, and Jesus always obeyed the Roman government. Now, the Roman government did terrible things.
But I understand her differences. When the law was passed, if I were her, I would have resigned the office saying, I can't do that anymore.
Okay, I'm going to push to that one second. That, I believe, is not an issue of religious liberty. That is a different issue. I want to stay with my point of, is this sin? Or if I am not being commanded to sin, if she is not being commanded to sin, you know, then we do get into the issue of, is there a participation in sin? I'm going to say, I'm going to push it beyond the first. I don't see that it is sinful to sign a government document. Not for me to do something, but for someone else. She is simply, the government is allowed to authorize things that are even wrong. Yes, this is wrong. Yes, the government has authorized it, and she is, you know, science senate. Nevertheless, she said, you know, I've got a conscience issue with this. Now, we can talk about, there is another state in which you come in and they simply assign a county clerk to go and perform the marriage. She is not even being asked. Now, we can even discuss that as well. But the first point is, first I have to say, am I being commanded to sin concerning this? I'm gonna keep us in a laser on this issue, okay?
The other thing here, I think, is we need to distinguish between the fact of, is her issuing the marriage license the beginning of sin, or is the sin already going on? You see, the sin is already going on. It's going to be codified by the government, but the sin is still there. She is not the source of this sin. Those who are applying for the license are the ones sinning. I think it's very important for us to remember that even the Nazi soldier who was commanded by his commander to shoot people in cold blood was not the one initiating the sin. He was commanded to do that.
Nevertheless, when they asked John the Baptist, the soldiers said, what should we do? The tax collectors, what should we do? He said, do your job, but don't. And then he went on to talk about, if you're a tax collector, don't collect more than you should. If you're a soldier, don't exhort people, you know, and all. And so, yes, you can misuse that authority. I can't say, well, I'm the government leader, and therefore I get to come over and do things that are immoral, that are beyond what the government's authority is. I can't do that either.
You can educate me on this, but is a county clerk in a position to evaluate the marriage that they would authorize? I mean, say the clerk knew that the man who wants to be the husband was an abuser and was known to abuse women, like, would they be able to evaluate that marriage and say, no, this isn't a good idea, or
there used to be blood taken, there used to be, you know, certain things. Pretty well at this point, it's a matter of, where do you live and do you have $25, or, you know, I mean, it there's not much, huh? And that's the pretty, pretty well the important thing. So not much more than that. All right, let's push forward. So here, she says, I've got a conscience problem with this. I'm not quite, you know, to say that this is necessarily, should it be? That ought to be the way it is? I don't know. What did she do? She said, well, I don't want to discriminate. I'm going to shut down the entire office. Why? I'm not going to allow other clerks to sign the certificates. Now, there is something within our country in which we talk about religious accommodation that is for some people's religious beliefs. We understand we have a plurality, and we understand that because people have different religious views, they can't do everything, and there's conscience. We respect that. And because we are not trying to shut anyone out of public service, it may be that there is a clerk in the office that says, my conscience won't allow me to do this, What do we do? The person that administers the office says, fine, we will have you do other things, and we will take that job and give it to another clerk in it. And so should these things come up, the public will not know the difference. And we would say within reason, there has always been an accommodation in which someone who is Seventh-day Adventist says, I can't work on Saturday. Okay, we're going to have you, you know, I mean, and there have been this kind of thing. And so they said, concerning Kim Davis, you know, has she allowed others to do this? No. I'm going to shut down the thing. I'm not going to allow, my conscience would bother me if anybody in my office does it. Begin to go, this kind of dominionist kind of thing, you begin to go, well, maybe there's a little bit more to this kind of thing. Mary?
I once worked for an attorney who was a devoted
Tony?
Legislators. Okay. If you don't like it, there's always a legal redress. And one of them would be change the law. I had this one because I'm going to check the policy.
So, perfect. She's thrown in jail, right? They talk to her and say, here's the issue. You should have allowed accommodation. You should have allowed other clerks to do this. You shut the whole office down. What's the problem here? She said, the problem is that my name is on the certificate. The certificates are printed off, Clerk Kim Davis at the bottom. Even if I don't sign it and Joe Blow in my office signs it, it is a marriage permission that has Kim Davis's name upon it. To which she said, that is the conscience problem. Okay, that begins to, you know, and again, this is one of those things that I hate using current events because I get half the facts one day and then a little, you know, and about a year later I go, oh, I didn't know that was going on. And you begin to go, really? So you begin to go, okay, now I'm starting to get a little more understanding of what's going on with this. As it turns out, the Kentucky legislature, then the governor of Kentucky said, we need to change the law in which the county clerk's name doesn't need to be on the marriage certificate, which I thought was interesting. She did get out of jail. She did allow other clerks to do this. I can't remember exactly what all happened. But the point being one of religious liberty in which those who have a conscience issue should not be forced against this to do this. And so we have this as well as the participation, as well as the, you know, is this just a matter of are you endorsing or are you just acting on behalf of the state or is this you yourself? There was you know, quite a bit then that came with this. There is, with that being said, there is, if you simply evaluate this on a religious liberty point of view, can those who have religious views, are they going to be forced to conform? The Supreme Court has said, this is the law. You're not allowed to say this is wrong, or is it hate speech? Is it, you know, so it's a matter of religious liberty. But we've been pushing forward into this, and we know that there's some other things that are going on. if we are simply talking about religious liberty, you may or may not agree with Kim Davis. You might say, listen, you should have gone to the legislator and asked them to take the name off. You should have allowed others if you yourself couldn't do it. Nevertheless, you know, this is a part of your this is part of your office. But it does then come down to another issue of which we're going to talk about, and we need to speak about, what about when laws are unjust? I think Mary already brought up, you know what? When she had this job, and as she has been doing it for many years, this was not required of her. There was a change in it. Now, if you're getting ready to go and apply for a job as a clerk, you know, and they ask you and you say, well, really only a certain percentage of the people that come here, I can actually do this job. I can't do this job most of the time. It goes against my religion. You know, maybe I can't hire you to do this job, or maybe you ought to have a different job. But if she says, listen, the job that I've held, the job that is here is fine. You changed it. It's not my fault. You say she ought to resign. I'm not quite sure. Resign because they changed the job on her? The next thing that you have to say, if we're going to talk about this particular thing, is what could this be unjust? And what do I mean by unjust as a law? Joanne?
Specify only the laws that are in effect when you take office. They are the Constitution and the laws of the state. Period.
When you go into office, you are required to take an oath that you will uphold the Constitution.
That's the hard part.
Now, is it the Constitution insofar as someone else interprets it? Or is it the Constitution according to your
knowledge?
And that better be when you've got to really know what you're talking about before you try to make a decision.
Oh, what's going on here? So you begin to say, yes, I promise to uphold the Constitution. Did she say, oh, I decided I don't want to uphold the Constitution? No, I think she would say, I still want to uphold the Constitution, but now, I guess we're going to have to define this. I promise I'd hit Matthew and Ben, Mark, and Tony. Matthew. Whoa! We're talking about laws. Laws are passed by our legislature. I'm going to pull out for you the Supreme Court ruling in which the minority opinion, four of the five judges, say that this particular ruling of the Supreme Court was an usurpation of legislative. It is not judgment. That's what the courts have been given to judge. In fact, they are legislating from the bench. Is that allowed?
No.
So is this according to, or is this someone taking government and making it do things that we never intended it? Now that becomes a little bit different. Mark, then Ben?
You can't just walk inside. I don't think that's going to work. You better know what you're talking about, which means you better study this for a long time. The second is, this is an issue with consciousness.
Correct.
but I knew what the Constitution said. And I simply could not make myself destroy somebody's life when my oath said that the Constitution, even though I was also stewarded of all law. So that was an issue of conscience, but that's outside of religion. And Kim Davis, that's one place where I think perhaps she erred. She should have said, I refuse to do that because Kentucky never allowed that, or laws don't allow that, and I refuse to do this. The Supreme Court says, because I'm not going to do that. That's where she made her mistake.
The question then, and that's where I'm pushing, is, we've got, as Christians, Romans 13, which says we obey the government. Is this an instance in which you can say, I don't? Or is this not? Or do we say, I'm still obeying the government, I'm just not obeying a rogue?
We also have
whoa.
The founding document, which says, the Declaration of Independence, which says, we're obligated as citizens to defy an unjust world.
One comment, it's a side note. I'm not going to get to the other. I'm going to say, in this area, we talk about natural law and human reason. We talk about common sense. In the very same way, I would say, when you as a policeman see someone slow down and don't come to an absolute complete stop, but are still inching a little bit as they go, the letter of the law says you can stop and you can arrest them. But there's a sense in which common sense and human reason says we've got laws for certain reason and this doesn't serve, and we do this. Now, when the policeman pulls me over and says it was a 55 mile an hour and you were going 59, 60, and so I pulled you over and he says to me, I will not write you a ticket. I don't say, no, I demand it. The law says, I obey the laws, you have to give me a ticket. There's a sense in which there's a, you come before the judge, and the judge says, here's what the law says, and here's what, but there are circumstances, and so this is a different ball game over here. So that's a side note. Ben? Very good. And let me take what you said and push it one more point to make it abundantly clear. If I am Kim Davis and I determine that this is an unjust law, okay, when I say no to it, am I doing it because I am a Christian? Or am I doing it because of my vocation in the government? Do you understand my point? There is a big difference in that. Over here, if I'm asked to sin, I, as a Christian, say, absolutely not. Okay, you ask me to do things that I don't... But it may be that, according to my vocation, I would have to do something. Tony, did you have a hand? I know I'm over time. Did I have... Who are we pointing at? Carol?
This young man.
Chris?
One comment I was going to make about the taking that to a higher level, not just at the clerk level, but somebody like when John Kerry was running for president.
Okay.
Who publicly states that he's a Catholic, and in such a level where he is forming government policy, takes a public stance.
There are, I'll address it with two ways, and I think, they have this issue. On the one hand, natural law, human reason, go over here. It may be that, and let me say, according to God's word, divorce is wrong. Over here, we allow divorce. As a clerk, you may sign the certificate that says so-and-so needs to be divorced. And so, Over here, it's simply a matter of this doesn't serve the common good. We can force people to never get divorced, and I don't think we'll like it. Okay? That's just not the thing. Nevertheless, example, when it comes to the protection of life, Fifth Amendment, things of that sort, yes, I do have what the scriptures say. Nevertheless, does natural law, you know, maybe there's a point at which there's not prosecution, but to say, no, we don't seek to protect, that can be a problem. But how far and where does that go? Again, because there are different rules, different guidelines going on in this. And so then you have those who are not just signing the things, but those who are also voting on making the laws. Next time I want to get into the unjust. I want to get into what makes it legal, what makes it unjust. Is there an instance in which Luther was concerned about obeying the government? And yet there was a point in which he says you also could fight against the government. So yes, there is a point in which that can and does happen. Nevertheless, I'm going to say it's in the left-hand kingdom. And it may be a matter of you have to make this decision based upon common sense. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that you have provided this world and that you have set up a government that it might protect body and possessions. And we ask, dear Lord, that we might keep your words concerning this government which you have set up. Nevertheless, we ask that you would give us wisdom that we might continue in our Christian calling and that we might follow your word according to our conscience as well as this obedience to government except when we're called to sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.